You found something?
Yes, my lord.
That's it. The rebels are there.
My lord, there are so many uncharted settlements.
That is the system. Set your course for the Hoth system.
As long as everybody behaves, this will be quick and painless.
Did you hear that? We're doomed.
Welcome to Echo Base, your weekly water cooler discussion exploring Star Wars news, issues, mythology, and understanding that galaxy far, far away.
We will use all our resources to unravel this mystery.
Dodging Imperial probe droids while leaving no topic unturned in this frozen wasteland.
You're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
Now live. Dock the snowspeeders and lock up the tauntauns. It's time for Echo Base.
It's not Tatooine, that's for sure.
All wings report in.
Red 10 standing by.
Red 7 standing by.
Red 3 standing by.
Red 6 standing by.
Red 9 standing by.
Red 11 standing by.
Red 5 standing by.
Red 2 standing by. Right now I feel like I'd take on the whole Empire myself.
Cut the channel, Red 2.
Standby alert.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the base.
Close the doors.
Yes, sir.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Echo Base. Welcome back from the wonderful world of London. Back here to Hoth. Safe behind the bunker doors. Where we are about to... Oh, shoot. Hold on. There's something on my Pokemon Go thing.
Oh, please.
A wild Zubat. I've got a lot of Zubats already, but hold on. Dude, priorities. Hold on. Got it. Okay. So what were we? Echo Base. So Celebration Europe or Celebration London.
Celebration Europe.
Whichever they're calling it. Well, they didn't call Celebration Anaheim Celebration US.
No.
So... You know, I think that's a little, isn't that kind of discriminatory?
It might be. You said Pokemon and my Pokemon app opened for some reason.
I'm just saying,
I don't know why.
Oh, there's all kinds of words I could say to try to trick out your phone, but it's a family friendly show, so I won't. Next week, we are having our field correspondent, our official, unofficial field correspondent for the Random Chatter Network. Joel Welch went to Celebration Europe and sat in on the panels, got a lot of cool information for us, which was awesome. And we also had a live stream. Did you guys, were you able to see much of the live stream this time?
No, I didn't get to.
I did not.
Okay, so they didn't live stream everything. But they did have a live stream going pretty much through the entire convention, and it was really good. Except the first day, I couldn't get through. Saying it said the video was private. I got through on days 2 and 3, but then on day 2, someone said that the video was marked as private. So I think there were maybe some technical issues going on. But the quality of the stream was really good. They would have a panel, and then in between the panels, they would have the hosts of the Star Wars show that comes out every Wednesday. Out and either doing a brief interview on the convention floor up on a stage with people from the panel, or they would have various different people like Mark Hamill, Peter Mayhew, etc. And it was really good. Now, they didn't do all of the panels because there were multiple panels going on at the same time. Mm. They did get a lot of the primary ones, but they did not get the future filmmakers panel. And I wonder if that was on purpose. Obviously it was on purpose, but I mean, I wonder if there was a strategic reasoning behind that. I don't really know.
Yeah, you know, it does make me wonder why they would do some stuff and not everything.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, do it. I mean, I guess there's that ability to feel special because you were there, and that's always nice if you're one of those people. But if you're going to give it to everybody else, just give them everything.
Well, I mean, you can't literally give everything. There's got to be, there are 5 panels going on at any given time.
But they could also make it so you could watch it, after the fact. Maybe not live, but, watch it taped or delayed.
True.
Because it's still not going to cut into the people that went and bought tickets. I mean, I don't think you can say, okay, if we stream everything, or no one's going to come. I mean, that's just not going to happen.
Right. Now, there is definitely a very different air to going to a convention as opposed to watching this stuff streaming. I imagine it's much like these things I keep hearing about with like you can watch stuff on TV, but you go and you have to park and you walk into some big arena or a stadium or something. And then like you squint like way, way down on this big grassy thing. And there's people, I guess, playing a game or something. But if you sit at home, you can see the whole thing up close. Sports, yeah. Right? Is that what they call it?
Sports.
Yeah,
yes.
Sports. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, there's definitely a different feel to actually being at a convention. And we are definitely jealous of Joel for being there. And it's not, you know, I was thinking, oh, man, Joel's going to go and he's our correspondent. He's going to cover stuff for us. And yet we can watch it all on the live stream. But, you know, we did get information from Joel before we got stuff in the live stream. And it was nice having someone actually there, you know, with feet on the ground, talking to people and inspecting things and seeing things. And I'm sure that for him, it was a different experience getting to physically be there. I know Celebration Anaheim was definitely something that had to be experienced. But that being said, the stream was actually impressively good. And for those of us who could not make it to Celebration Europe, I think that it was, they did a fine job with it. Lou, I understand what you're saying. But, you know, I still think, you know, you give them the moon, they ask for the sun. I feel like it was more than we deserved. It was more than they were obligated to give us. And they gave us quite a bit.
Yeah, we're always going to want more. That's a fact. Yeah. I mean, you know, what if you're going to give us this, why couldn't you have Mark Hamill call me? I mean, you know, I'm home on the couch. He could call me.
I know. It's like I would have given Pablo my good recliner. Mark and Carrie could sit on the couch. Like, I don't understand what the problem is. I would even move some of the Star Wars collectibles away so they'd have more place to sit. Carrie could bring Gary with her. That's fine. We have a dog-friendly house. Yeah. No, we're always going to want more, but... And that includes the content. We're always going to want more from the content. But I have to say, I think we were all pleasantly surprised at the amount of... We were surprised at the amount of surprises. That was badly worded. But I think we were surprised at how many reveals we got.
Yeah, I was saying to you, Eric, before we started the call, that I think it feels like we got more reveals in Celebration Europe than we got in Celebration Anaheim. You know, more little things were released that were newsworthy, whereas, you know, maybe last year we were just gearing up for Episode 7, so that was all everything was about.
Right.
Now we got so many more things we're getting into with Season 3 of Rebels and Rogue One coming out and some more books, and it's like, wow, all these different things. I'm like, I'm almost overwhelmed.
Yeah. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, but at Celebration Anaheim, the main things that we got were the trailer for Episode 7, which was a big deal. And the trailer for Season 2 of Rebels, and the big reveal in there seemed to be, Hondo, Rex. Yeah, so I think that was about it, right?
And wasn't Darth Vader in it too?
I don't
might have been. I can't remember when that was revealed.
I think
Vader was in the premiere episode too, technically. So, you know, was Ahsoka revealed? Well, Ahsoka was revealed in the finale of season one.
Yeah, I think okay. It was the her fighting Vader. That was what was teased in it.
Hmm. Okay. So, I mean, those were significant things, but they were basically two things. We got the Rogue One teaser for the people who were present, but that was about it. And, you know, otherwise, if you weren't present, you didn't get to see it. So... You're right, Lou. I hadn't really thought about it, but we actually got more revealed out of this one than we did Celebration Anaheim. It's a really good point. So let's look at, let's jump right into the news everyone wants to know. And that is the elephant in the room. You guys ready? I know you guys are like chomping at the
bit.
I'm
on the edge of my seat.
To talk about this one. This is one everybody wanted to talk about. Netflix currently is airing The Force Awakens right now in Canada. That's right. To our Canadian friends, you can watch The Force Awakens streaming on Netflix in high def right now as we speak. You could be watching it right now while you're listening to this show.
Hmm.
Comments, guys?
I bet Why Joel's Canada? Be very happy when he gets home.
Yeah. This was the big thing. I thought you guys would have more to say.
Yeah, I'm sorry. To our friends to the north, I'm happy for you.
Yeah. And so that wraps up another episode of Echo Base. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate it. Stars is going to have it here in the United States on September 10th. And obviously, that is not the big elephant in the room. One more quick thing before we get to the elephant in the room, and that is episode 8 reveals. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the only thing that was really revealed about episode 8 was Kathleen Kennedy said that there is no time jump between episode 7 and 8. And that is of, you know, for trivia fans, it's of significance because this will be the first time that that's been the case between two Star Wars films. But it was also kind of something we all pretty much assumed anyway, right? I mean, it's not really a big reveal. Were there any big reveals, any reveals at all on episode 8?
No, I think you're right. I'd actually be shocked if they were going to take the story and go, you know, 6 months jump ahead. Because, you know, we didn't get to see anything about what happened when she got there. Say, like, hey, here's your lightsaber.
Right.
And it cuts. It's like, what was that interaction? We need to see something about that. So I'm glad it's going to pick up right where it left off. Although I did see today on Facebook, somebody had a mock-up crawl for episode 8. And it said, you know, episode 8. Nothing happens between the episodes. I was like, that's clever.
So where were we?
It's gonna make that crawl very interesting. Because
yeah,
you know, what do you do?
That's a really good point. That one almost breaks the crawl.
One fun thing that I did read in some article is that they actually had to reshoot the Rey and Luke scene at the end to fit. In whatever they're doing. So I assume we'll be seeing the hand over the lightsaber thing again.
You know what I would like to see? I would like to see Rey staring up at Luke holding the lightsaber. We see the same shot of Luke kind of glancing back at Rey. It cuts back to Rey and her face kind of like, you know, that excitement that she has for being there, but also that kind of solemn look of like resignation, like, you know, here, this belongs to you. And yet she's still kind of like, she can barely contain her excitement, but she's trying to keep it in. And then back to Luke, and Luke's got this conflicted look on his face, and then just like hold on Luke, and then pan back out and have a wide area shot of the two of them. And after about 5 minutes, Luke say, "Your arm's got to be tired by now." I'm waiting for one of those, you know, how it should have ended things.
I was waiting for one of those where, you know, she approaches him, he kind of sees her, and she reaches into the bag to pull something out, and he just thinks she's going to kill him, so he force pushes her off the cliff.
Oh, there you go. I didn't even think about that. All right. So there was really no new news about episode 8. Just the fact that there's no time jump, which again is only of trivial significance, except when you think about the crawl. So, I don't know. Let the speculation begin. I don't know what I would.
This makes perfect sense to me because, you know, we talked about this a couple weeks back about what we thought we were going to get out of Europe. And I think that this makes sense because they still want to promote Rogue One. That's the next title coming out. They don't want to overshadow that with all the news about episode 8, what's going to happen. We'll get that in January or February.
You know, honestly, though, I did expect, I didn't entirely expect it, but there's a part of me that was expecting to get the title of episode 8. I wasn't less sure bet or anything. It wasn't like, I'm like, oh, this is where they're going to do it. But it was like, well, you know, this wouldn't be a bad time for them to release the title. So I was expecting that on some level, I think. But that's okay. We definitely more than made up for it in other places. So let's now get to what everybody is talking about. The Rebels panel. Now, there was a lot of interesting stuff from the Rebels panel. It was Dave Filoni and Warwick Davis was hosting it. And they also had Tia Sarkar, who plays Sabine, and Sam Witwer, who I love the fact that without having to look it up, just off the top of his head, he knows that the Outrider, Dash Rendar's ship, is a YT-2400. Blurts it out in the middle of the panel when they're talking about the Outrider. And do you know how Sam Witwer knows that? Anyone?
I imagine from playing X-Wing.
From playing X-Wing, that is correct. Yes, he's a fan of the Fantasy Flight game stuff. I know he plays the RPG. And my understanding is he also plays X-Wing. So that's probably how he knows that that's a YT-2400.
Cool.
Yes, cool. See, and not just a member of the creative Star Wars team, but a true fan of Star Wars and of gaming and of geek culture. And we love that about him.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So, Oh, I completely forgot about this. I mentioned this in the Slack channel about a week or two ago. And of course, now it's completely overshadowed by a celebration. But just a quick jaunt here. Someone who is not in the panel, Vanessa Marshall. I don't even know how to describe this. Well, first of all, Gotham City Breakout, the new DC Lego direct-to-DVD movie that just came out. She does the voice of Poison Ivy. Just a little bit of trivia there. But she was in an episode of Scrubs.
Was she?
She was. Specifically, she was in season one, episode...
Wait. Was she driving the bus?
No.
Ambulance?
She was in the parking lot. Does that count?
I just wanted to beat you to that in case you're going to throw me under the bus with that one.
I am still going to throw you under the bus. But I'm going to wait until we get her back on the show.
Great.
Yes.
Great.
She was in season one, episode three. She played Becky.
Oh, yeah, Becky. Yeah.
Nope. Okay. I know. You won't remember her. Have you ever watched Scrubs, though? I mean, have you?
No, I actually never did.
Okay. It's actually a good series, and it holds up really well. And it has one of my all-time favorite fictional characters in it. But much in the same way that... okay, so we just posted our Outer Rim episode, focusing on Pokemon Go. And we introduced a YouTube celebrity to our show named Francis. And I talked about how someday I hope to be able to rant as effectively as Francis does. Well, Dr. Cox from Scrubs is actually my true hero when it comes to ranting. I've actually practiced ranting as Dr. Cox. Like he is my mentor. But anyhow, if you have Netflix, check out Scrubs season one, episode three, look for Becky, and your jaw will hit the floor. You will write us at echobase@randomchatter.com and say, Eric, I'm afraid you're mistaken. That is not Vanessa Marshall. And then I will say, no, go back and watch the credits. And you'll watch it again. And you'll watch the full episode again. And then you'll just fast forward to the Vanessa Marshall parts. And then you will email me again and say, no, I'm sorry. I think the credits were mistaken too. That's not really Vanessa. It is like, I don't know if it speaks to her scope as an actress or what, but undescribable difference. I'll leave it at that. I hope you're at least curious now to go check it out.
Is there more than one actress named Vanessa Marshall, maybe?
No, this is, if you go to IMDb, this is Vanessa Marshall. This is her. But I'm going to ask her about it when she's on the show. I don't know. Anyway, so how do we get off? Okay, Vanessa Marshall, Sam Witwer, Rebels panel. All right, so it was a really good panel aside from what we're about to get to, but there was a point at which they went and played the preview for season three. And this is a very long preview of the entire season coming up. There was a lot of good information in it, and we are going to dedicate an episode of Echo Base coming up very soon to going through this trailer and picking it apart, analyzing it, talking about the different things we see in there in more depth. But there are a couple of things that we just cannot postpone that long. And the first one, of course, is we see, and if you consider this a spoiler, now is your only chance to duck out.
But you revealed, might as well just stop listening now.
And, yeah. You know. Revealed in this teaser footage, Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Woo!
Now, Chris.
Yes.
I want your thoughts on this, because we've talked before about the possibility of getting Grand Admiral Thrawn. And if I recall correctly, you seem to be the least enamored of us about having Grand Admiral Thrawn in the show, and probably because of where you came in to your appreciation of Star Wars, where and when you became a Star Wars fan. Any thoughts after seeing this now, after seeing the fan reaction to it, anything?
Well, he looks cool in the trailer, but I mean, it's neat. I like that they brought, you know, a character from the EU and, you know, as far as we know, didn't really change him, mm-hmm. you know, didn't make him not blue. And as far as I know, he's still Grand Admiral.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, and I like that, I like his voice actor. He sounds cool and intimidating, and at least it's a neat villain that's not the Inquisitors.
Yeah, he does not have a helicopter blade.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but for the most part, and this is not an insult. This is a 110% perfectly acceptable response, but just kind of general apathy. I mean, General Thrawn or Grand Admiral Thrawn is not a character that you have a fan relationship with.
Yeah, I'm more excited about Wedge.
Okay. And I don't discredit you that, because I, too, am excited about Wedge. But all right. So
I will say this, though. I'm probably more excited for the Thrawn novel. I tweeted this during the weekend. But the Thrawn novel and the Rogue One Catalyst novel, which we'll talk about later, is probably this is the first time I'm actually excited about a Star Wars book coming out.
Hmm. Excellent. Okay. Yeah, we are going to talk about the Thrawn novel here in a few minutes. Yeah, let's come back to that aspect of it in a few minutes here. So Lou, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Thrawn in season 3 of Rebels then. And,
okay.
And Chris, feel free to hop in, but
okay.
As I'm sure you can understand, I am beyond excited for this, and I'm guessing that Lou probably is as well.
Well, I think we talked about this before, like characters we wanted to see show up and didn't show up. I want to say I was kind of on the fence of saying, you know, no to Thrawn, only for the fact that it's not going to be the same character, and I have a feeling that if it's not done right, it's going to piss a lot of fans off.
True.
Because that's not the Thrawn they remembered. It's not going to be the story we got. It's not going to be, you know, this, because we know those events don't take place. So how do you appease the fans that really loved the novels that Zahn did back in the day, without that same story? Because it's not going to be. There was a couple of question and answer thing they did with Lucasfilm that he did. There was, I think, a post on the Force.net today or yesterday. Was talking about, you know, Zahn and what he felt about going back to writing Thrawn again, and what we may see, and he's just excited about the fact that he's a, you know, master tactician, and that's what, you know, Grand Admiral Thrawn was. He was just a master at that. So I'm excited to see what they do with him. I am not holding my breath out to make this even remotely the same character, I suppose.
Right. You know, some people have talked about, why do we need to bring characters back? And other people have been fighting viciously to get characters back. And I can understand where a lot of people come from. It's like, well, just, you know, let it go. Let's just, you know, create a new character. Why do you have to bring someone else back to put in this spot instead? And Thrawn is, in my personal opinion, one of the few characters who is so uniquely created. You know, much like with the prequels, there are problems with the Thrawn trilogy that Timothy Zahn wrote back in the early 90s. And I say that with that trilogy being pretty much tied with the X-Men trilogy for my favorite Star Wars books of all time. And there are literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Star Wars books. But there were some issues with the trilogy, and we could nitpick about them if we wanted to, if anyone was actually interested in hearing about them, but I don't think anybody is. But even if you're not a big fan of those books, and for the people who really hated some of those issues from those books, you have to give Timothy Zahn credit for creating what is possibly one of the most unique characters in the Star Wars universe to not have come from one of the films, and one of the most powerfully effective and game-changing characters. And when you look back, you know, we talked recently about what things would have been like if Darth Maul hadn't have been killed off in episode one. And what if General Grievous had gotten more screen time? Or what if Boba Fett wasn't killed off at the beginning of Return of the Jedi? I mean, even George Lucas was planning on Boba Fett apparently being a villain for longer, right? And I think that it's a shame that Thrawn died at the end of that trilogy, because, I mean, you almost had to have him die, because otherwise he would have just owned the galaxy by the time we got to the second or third trilogy. I mean, the guy's like, anyway, so I guess what I'm trying to get at here is, of all of the characters to bring back, I think Thrawn adds something to the story of this time period. I think he's a good fit. He's a character that has already been established as a powerhouse character. And you don't have to build from scratch. You don't have to take someone like Agent Kallus and prove to us why he should be intimidating, and prove to us that, you know, over time he's this brilliant tactician who's never been beaten, et cetera, et cetera. Like, we don't have to take seasons and seasons of a TV show to build this character. We basically know what we need to know about this character. And even for the people who are brand new, if you're watching Rebels, you've probably at least heard of Thrawn before. And if you hadn't, you can ask a friend. You can look it up on Wikipedia. And even if you skip all of those, I'm sure I have enough faith in Dave Filoni and the team working on Rebels and writing Rebels that they will introduce him in such a way that even the people who've never heard of him before will at least have some kind of insight as to what's going on with this character. There's this resource that is sitting dormant in the Star Wars universe that if you're going to pull anyone from Legends, pull the ones that would be the most useful, that are the largest resources, that are just sitting there otherwise being wasted. And Thrawn, I think, epitomizes that. And that's why I think that if ever there was going to be a character pulled from Legends into canon, I think Thrawn is the perfect choice.
I think you hit on a good point there, too, that, you know, you can bring in characters that are known into Rebels, because people watching Rebels have a familiarity with Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's many people that are just brand new to the universe that don't have never read anything outside of, you know, just seeing the movies, that are watching that series. I mean, maybe a few, but I'd imagine that the majority of the fans of that show are fans that have been involved in Star Wars over the years. So you bring in someone like Thrawn, and they're going to instantaneously know this guy is, you know, it. You know, he's got the power. He's got the mental capacity to do what he wants to do, and everyone's going to cower in fear of what this guy can do with his strategy.
Right.
What I kind of caution about is that, you know, we're bringing a character in that, you now it's that you know, ambiguous period between what we know about him and what we don't know about him, because everything that we know about him is legend, I guess. And the character is here, but we're going to get a new character. So whatever we know, just take it with a grain of salt because it may or may not be true. If that makes sense, you know, what I'm thinking going forward with this, because you're bringing the character forward into canon, you're not bringing the stories that we already had with him
right.
as canon.
But again, I think that with Thrawn specifically, this gives us a big opportunity because he was only around for one book trilogy. And so he didn't do a lot of things. What he did was very impressive, but it's not like there's a large quantity of things he did because we just didn't have that much exposure to him. But more importantly, what makes Thrawn a compelling character is not what he did, but it's how he did what he did. It is truly the character of Thrawn that makes him really compelling and an interesting character. It's not the actions that he took or the stories that he was involved with. And so I think that while, Lou, I agree with what you're saying there, I think that Thrawn is, again, perfectly situated for this, because even if we forget all the stories that came before, his strategic and tactical genius, the implication being that because he's in a room studying art, that he learns about his enemies from studying their art, that seems to still be in place. He's still a Grand Admiral. He's still a Chiss. He's still blue. That seems to be something that a lot of people are very concerned about. I mean, all of these things about him and apparently what he is and how he does what he does, those things are still intact. The actions he took, I mean, frankly, I don't care.
Mm.
We know a lot of those stories are going to disappear.
Right, and I'm okay with that, too. I think that some people are going to get tripped up by that, though.
True.
And be upset that we don't have all the stories that he was part of, you know?
But that's going to happen. No matter what character they pull out of Legends, it's going to happen. I mean,
oh, definitely. People, yeah, I just don't want it to be a thing. I don't want it to be a big talking point and controversial and, you know.
Well, and I think it will be because people, if nothing else, they're going to compare whatever story he's involved in to, you know, there's going to be looking at the new Thrawn versus the old Thrawn. I mean, heck, we might even do it on the show. I don't know. But as long as people understand that it doesn't matter, this is a telling of a character.
Mm-hmm.
It's canonical. It's official. And if you don't like it, there's nothing wrong with that. Nobody says you have to like it, and you can ignore it. You can continue on your way. You know, in the last episode of Echo Base, Mike brought up, and Chris, I think you agreed with him, that there's this sense that now that there's just a single canon, everybody has to be an expert on everything for Star Wars. Before, there were different levels, and you didn't have to know everything because not everything mattered at the same level. Well, now everything does, and there's this expectation that you read everything, you consume everything. Otherwise, your Star Wars fandom is incomplete inherently.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is simply unreasonable and unfair. So get over it.
You know, one thing I like about bringing Thrawn into this is that we I think we kind of need to see the Empire decimate the Rebel Alliance to the brink of they're just about to lose for good.
Yeah.
Just so the payoff that we see in Rogue One, and then eventually, you know, in A New Hope, becomes even more significant. And I think that if Thrawn is the ringleader behind all of that, then it can be not only a nod to what he did in the Legends universe, but it can be really, it can really help not only Rogue One, but A New Hope. And if you're able to take a story and craft it in a way that it strengthens a 40-year-old film, that's pretty cool.
Yes. You're absolutely right. Well, more on Thrawn in Rebels. He's going to be voiced by Lars Mikkelsen. Not to be confused with Mads Mikkelsen, who is in Rebels, playing the director. They are brothers, in fact. So, one of the two, Chris, was it you that mentioned you liked the voice of the character?
Yes, yeah. I like his voice.
So, there you go. I mean, played by someone with some oomph, some power behind his voice. So I'm looking forward to that performance. The Isalamiri creatures are not something we brought into the show. That is a direct quote from Dave Filoni during the panel. So you can see right off the bat, there are some ways in which the story's changing, not the character, but you know, the situations and such. Though Dave did point out that it was interesting. They had some kind of creatures in the artwork over Thrawn's shoulders that could be interpreted as being similar to a Isalamiri. But beyond that, he said that they are not something being brought into the show. Another quote, someone asked him about, of course, someone asked him about Mara Jade. And his quote, and I think I transcribed this exactly. He said, that's not likely. So, he kind of talked about the fact that, well, and of course, then Sam Witwer's like, you know, man, you give them Thrawn and then they want Mara. And they kind of got off onto this whole little joke there. But yeah, you know, we have to be careful about this too. Yeah, we got Thrawn. It does not mean that they are going to go down the top 10 list of favorite characters from Legends and find a way to pull them in. Again, I think Thrawn very uniquely fits perfectly. I think a lot of the other characters, especially those with direct connections and relationships to Han, Luke, and Leia, and Mara Jade is, you know, an epitome of that. I think those would be very difficult to bring in. In fact, I think Mara Jade would probably be one of the single most difficult people to bring into this universe, with the exceptions probably of Jaina, Jason, and Anakin Solo. I think that those four characters are probably right out of the running. The only exception is that they bring back Mara in the sense of her old self before she meets Luke and then just never meets Luke. But then if they do that, then they've always got this thing with the fans where, well, when is she going to meet Luke? When is that going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that they probably could find a way to bring her in. And I think that it would be very foolish of them to do so, because in doing so, they will automatically set up that fan expectations and it will be a distraction. So, so that's basically it on Thrawn. Now, of course, they had a video cut in. They cut away to a video from Timothy Zahn that we're going to get to when we talk about the novels here in a few minutes. Also in this trailer was, as I pointed out earlier, a YT-2400 that people thought might be the Outrider. Someone asked about it in the panel, and Dave Filoni said, no, that is not Dash Rendar, and no, that is not the Outrider. That is just another ship that kind of looks like the Outrider. I mean, that was a model of ship. There was more than one. And Sam Witwer then said, no, but we are getting Kyle Katarn. And Dave said, oh, Sam, don't do this to me. He said, yes, we are getting Kyle Katarn, played by Warwick Davis. Sam Witwer was obviously kidding. He was, again, making joke about the fact that you give them a little bit and all of a sudden they want everything. So also we saw Wedge, as you said, Chris. And you are excited about Wedge, yes?
Oh, yes.
Good.
Very
good,
much, man. So.
And it looks kind of interesting, too, because it looks like it's in a scene. They're defecting from the Imperial Academy. And also in that shot, there's him and two other pilots. We'll come back to that later. Like I said, we're going to take apart the Rebels thing bit by bit. Another interesting thing introduced in this trailer was the Bendu. And I don't know exactly how to describe this creature. He looked kind of like, I guess he kind of reminded me of like an elk or a moose or some like big giant head like that. He represents the neutral side of the force, or the spot in between the light and the dark, the balance, if you will. And the name Bendu, if I recall correctly, there was a point at which in one of the early drafts, either the first or the second one, where Bendu was part of the name of the Jedi Order. Like, it wasn't called the Jedi, it was called the Jedi Bendu.
Mm.
Like, that was the name of that group. So that name itself goes all the way back to some of the early names that George Lucas used for things in what was going to have been The Adventures of Luke Starkiller. Anything else that you guys can think of from that trailer before we move on?
Think we covered everything.
Yeah, as far as the big stuff. All the big stuff. Yeah. All right. The novels. The Ahsoka novel had already been announced, but we got a cover for it. Pretty simple looking cover with Ahsoka on the front. No complaints there?
Nope.
Nope.
Okay. Thrawn, obviously. And I don't know if that was a final cover or not. If it is, I like it. Again, the cover, kind of a close up on Thrawn's bust, you know, face, shoulders, etc. Written by Timothy Zahn. This was announced during the Rebels panel. Like I said, there's a video. Timothy Zahn said that he couldn't make it there in person, but he is writing. He's finishing up the book. And of course, the one thing I did not put here in the show notes, now I feel like an idiot, is when the book is being released. It's going to be 2017.
It's in April.
April. Okay. So not too far away, but far enough away that it's going to be a frustrating wait. Man, I might have a harder wait for this than I do for Rogue One. I've always loved this character, and for them to now be bringing him into canon. What we do know, again, he is a Grand Admiral. The book is going to cover his first encounter with the Empire all the way through to just before Rebels. Now, there have been different short stories that have included Grand Admiral Thrawn, and his first encounter with the Empire has actually been documented already in Legends,
mm-hmm.
of course. And it was kind of interesting, and I'm curious. I don't care if he does it one way or the other, but I'm curious if he will bring in aspects of that initial meeting with the Empire into this new canon book. There's no reason not to. It doesn't contradict anything. But, I mean, if he does, okay. If he doesn't, okay. It doesn't matter a whole lot. But I'm curious. You know, Lou, you mentioned earlier about how much of what did actually occur with the character will change or will stay the same. And I don't know. This is...
Well, the article I read today was talking about that. And he was asked, you know, what he was going to include. He said there'll be some Easter eggs from the stuff I already wrote that fans will, you know, be able to pick up on and be happy about. But doesn't sound like he's going to bring a lot of that story forward.
Hmm. You know, one of my favorite Thrawn short stories, I think I've talked about this before, was... was it Side Trip? A four-part series with he and Mike Stackpole wrote it, and it featured Grand Admiral Thrawn, it featured Corran Horn, and I think it had Maximilian Veers. Trying to think of which of the books it was in. I think it was either Tales of the Empire or Tales of the Rebellion. I forget which. I'm going to have to look that up because it was an awesome series of short stories. But anyway, so here's another thing I wanted to point out with the Thrawn series. For those of you who have not read the original Thrawn series, I recommend you do. because I think that, again, it's an interesting character. And there's nothing you need to know before the book going into it. Like, another one of my favorite Legends books is Traitor by Matthew Stover. But it's part, I think it's like part 16 or 17 out of the 19 part long New Jedi Order. And even to start that, you needed to have an idea of what had happened in the Star Wars galaxy for like 20 years leading up to that. With the Thrawn books, you can just jump right in. You don't have to know anything except the original trilogy of films. And the second thing is, you know, Marvel, for years and years and years, has had a sub-series of comic books called What If. And it would have things like, what if Deadpool had become Venom? Or what if Captain America had never been found in the ice and never got resurrected after World War II? Or what if Thanos kept the Infinity Gauntlet? There's a whole thing of, you know, different ways stories could have happened and how that would have changed chronology. And even with Star Wars, when Dark Horse had it, there was a series called Infinities. And they took each one of the films, and it was, it included things like, you know, what if Luke had died on Hoth and ends up having Han Solo going to Dagobah, and Vader finding out about Leia and Leia siding with Vader, and et cetera, et cetera. It's all of this alternate universe sort of thing. So if you are able to handle that, just for the experience of a what-if story, then you can certainly pick up this trilogy and go through it as a what-if story. And it doesn't have to get muddled with all of this other Legends situation. Mm-hmm. You can just pick these up, enjoy them for what they are, as an alternate universe sort of thing, and let them go. But I think it would be worth it, especially now that we are officially getting Thrawn in both Rebels. And you know, they're not going to throw him into Rebels and just not do anything with him. I mean, they're featuring him, you know?
That'd be a waste.
Right. And again, an official in-canon book coming from Timothy Zahn. So I think it would be worth your while if you skipped it the first time around, if you didn't get into Star Wars when it first came out and never went and picked it up. I think it would be worth your while to check it out.
Hmm. And I'm just upset that, you know, when I met Timothy Zahn last fall, he didn't say anything about this. I mean,
yeah, I know, right? I mean,
he had the chance to say, hey, you know, I'm writing this new story. You know.
Well,
oh, well,
he did agree to be on the show when you talked to him.
Not in so many words, but yes.
Well, Lou,
I think it was implied.
Dang it.
I think it was implied he was going to be on the show.
Well, we've talked to him several times before. I'm sure we could get him back on the show again. He probably
is going to be at New York Comic Con.
Well, that's true.
Is he?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. They just announced it. Now, you know, he's not going to say anything about any of this until...
We'll take him out and get him drunk.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm sure that'll work, yeah.
Other novels. The Rogue One novelization is going to be written by Alexander Freed. You guys know who he is?
Wrote Twilight Company.
That's right. Okay. I do feel like a little bit of an idiot because I'm like, I recognize the name. But okay. And Twilight Company was really good. So I think that this is going to work really well. And one of the nice things about Twilight Company is he gets that military-esque style of storytelling down really well. So... Rogue One Catalyst is going to be written by another newcomer, James Lucano. I don't know. Chris, can you pronounce this?
James Lucino.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I meant. Relative newcomer to the Star Wars universe. Hopefully he'll.
Yeah, he'll do well. I mean, as much as you're looking forward to Thrawn, I'm looking forward to Catalyst.
Well, you were a big Plagueis fan, weren't you?
Yes.
We might have to compete on that one, Lou. I don't know if you're looking forward to this as much as I'm looking forward to Thrawn.
I thought Lucena's done some great stuff though. I'm just like, yeah. Oh man.
Oh yes. I mean, Plagueis, Tarkin. Yeah, this is definitely going to be very interesting. I think both of the Rogue One books are going to be phenomenal. Now I'm curious if they're going to release the novelization before, after, or same day.
December 16th, I think, is the release date for the book.
So 2 days prior, right? Because isn't the 18th the date of release of the film?
Sounds right.
Okay. Well, that gives us 2 days to inhale the book. Right?
Yeah, I don't read that fast. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Finally, these aren't books per se, but there are going to be more Blade Squadron short stories in the Star Wars Insider magazine. So if you recall, I think it was the first Blade Squadron short story in Star Wars Insider was technically the first bit of new Star Wars canon that was ever released. I'd have to go look that up. Because now I'm being met with silence, and now I feel like an idiot because I might have that wrong. I'm pretty sure
it was either that or the Darth Maul comic.
I think this beat out the Darth Maul comic.
Really? Okay. See, I thought you know, the book New Dawn was the
that was the first novel.
That was the first publication. But technically, the Blade Squadron short story was released in Star Wars Insider prior to A New Dawn. Now, it's a short story, so a lot of people, you know, think it doesn't count in the same, you know, in the same way that releasing a novel does. But, okay, so moving along to Rogue One. Again, it didn't seem like there was a lot of new information per se, but we did get what is being called a featurette. And it is freely available on YouTube. It is available in the Trailers app on your Apple TV or your iPhone. It is very easy to get a hold of, including in high def. It is much like what we saw from, was it San Diego Comic-Con for The Force Awakens? Kind of a behind-the-scenes montage of different things. This one's got... it's got a few different clips of the director and some of the actors talking a little bit. Some really good looking shots.
Yeah, it looks absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, is it just me, or does the scene of the stormtroopers walking in like a, you know, beautiful resort waters not work for you guys?
It doesn't. It looks oversaturated.
Yeah, but it just it looks so out of place. It's like right. It's not. It's like, wow. I mean,
but that's what I'm saying.
I'm glad I get to go to the beach, but it's like, you know, it doesn't seem to fit.
Looks like it's too bright. It like I'm saying, I think, I mean, oversaturated probably isn't the right technical term. And Lou, you're more into photography than I am, so you'd understand lighting terms better than I do. But
yeah, the brightness, it's definitely brighter than we've ever seen in Star. It seems even brighter than stuff on like Tatooine.
It looks like a cruise line advertisement that's got, yes. It looks like what Disney should have done for their Star Wars Day at Sea.
No, it rained on that cruise.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But doesn't it look like the types of shots that you get on these TV commercials for cruise lines?
It does. It does. It doesn't feel right to me at all.
I don't know.
But the rest of the trailer, phenomenal.
I think that's why the poster doesn't work for me.
Oh, you don't like the poster?
No.
Oh. Okay. I guess I can understand that. I do like the poster, but...
I like the idea of the poster and the concept. Like, the top half with the Death Star looks cool. But after that, like, the whole bottom half with the beach scene just is no.
I think they're trying to communicate that this is like otherwise a tropical paradise island that basically gets demolished as a result of the Empire, or perhaps as a result of the rebellion. But I think that they're trying to demonstrate the cost of war. But
I like the poster. it doesn't look as bad there as it does in the trailer of the, you know, stormtroopers walking in the water. Like I said, I love the idea of the Death Star in the sky. You can see in daytime.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It just gives me chills.
But I can see, Chris, where you're talking about the execution of the concept is not that great. Like, it could have been done better.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, other than that shot with the stormtroopers, though, I thought the trailer looked really good. And I had a problem with that shot of the stormtroopers in the Entertainment Weekly spread, too, because it was in there as well.
Mm.
And it looked out of place there, too. I'm like, that's weird. Is that like a behind-the-scenes shot, or is that like from in the movie? It can't be. But otherwise, man, it looks awesome. Now, I'm trying not to, again, we're going to have an episode where we're going to take this apart bit by bit. I'm trying to not get wrapped up too much in the minutia content-wise of Rogue One yet, because I'm trying to stay spoiler-free. I'm trying to not go that route with this one. Episode 8, I don't mind, but Rogue One, I'm trying to experiment and stay spoiler free. So like, I don't even know the character names, really. Jyn Erso, obviously I know. But all of the other characters, it's going to be like just before the movie comes out, before I'm going to have these character names down. And as a Star Wars podcaster, I'm going to look like an idiot in the meantime, but I maintain the fact that I'm doing it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But the martial arts guy, the blind martial arts master, love that guy already. I love the choreography. I love the movements. I love the, you know, it's interesting. The guy who plays Daredevil, same sort of thing. You've got to do martial arts choreography, and yet you have to not look at anything. You have to act based on what you know is around you rather than what you see around you. And that takes a special type of, I mean, because as an actor, you do actually need to see what's going on, or you have to have just perfect, impeccable timing with the choreography. And I imagine that has got to be incredibly difficult. So I'm already impressed with this guy. I'm pretty excited about that. Now, next week when Joel joins us, he can talk more about the trailer that was actually aired. Now, Chris, you've seen this actual additional teaser trailer, right? This was the exclusive that was only shown at the panel and not released anywhere else.
Except online and cell phone videos, but yes.
Yeah, which got pulled down quickly, but you saw it before it got pulled down, right?
Yeah, I actually found another link and I posted it in our Slack channel.
Ah, okay.
So, but yes, just to briefly describe it, it's like about a minute long, doesn't really show anything drastically new. It has a voiceover from Jyn Erso, but it reuses a lot of the same shots or maybe a few second extended shots of what we've already seen. And at the end has a reflection of Darth Vader and his breathing. But that's really it. It doesn't reveal anything, you know, too, you know.
Yeah, now that you said you put a link to it, I'm looking at it right now because it'll be taken down quickly, I'm sure. You're right.
Yeah, Lucasfilm's out there playing whack-a-mole.
Yeah. It looks like there's actually quite a bit of footage from the first teaser trailer especially.
Yeah.
A lot of redundant footage. There are definitely some shots that are new, but a lot of it's a shot of a group of people running through the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. There's a lot of establishing shots like that are new. But, I mean, it looks really good. But for those of you who have not seen it, and of course, like I said, I'm watching it right now, so I'm not getting audio or anything. I don't know that it's, like, I don't feel like left out having not seen it.
Yeah. It's kind of like the teaser that we saw in Anaheim. Like, it was very cool to see.
Right.
But you're not missing anything, really. Right.
Yeah.
I got so much more out of the behind the scenes feature than I did that little trailer thing.
Yeah. Well, and we don't have context for a lot of these other shots.
Yeah, exactly.
Here. I'm sure that they're going to be more interesting when we actually see the movie. But yeah, there's nothing really, there are a couple of little things, but there's nothing really impressive there. Whereas I feel like you're right. The behind the scenes stuff, there were impressive moments.
Mm.
What else? It was also revealed by Kathleen Kennedy that they are probably not going to do an opening crawl for the Star Wars story films, or what are also known as the anthology films.
Can I just say that I really liked the glitched version of the opening crawl that we saw at the beginning of the Rogue One panel, and I really wish they would do that in the actual movie. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
No, the glitch.
No, fresh my memory.
Okay, so at the beginning of the panel, they had the, you know, the Star Wars logo pop up, and then it was the crawl from Episode 4. Well, when it got to like the middle paragraph, the screen started to like glitch up, and the crawl stopped, and you just saw the part where it said. I don't even know the crawl by heart, so I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's the middle paragraph talking about how the rebels have won their first battle,
yeah, against
the Empire,
and
stole the data plans or whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's a very cool take on the crawl, and picks out a piece of it to, you know, that's going to tell the story that we see in the film.
I think I remember something along those lines. It's one of those things where I like after that, there was so much incredible stuff in the panel that I guess I never really like that never sunk in. But as you're describing it, I think I remember what you're talking about. I could see that maybe being a good way to go.
Well, they were saying in the one of the articles that was released, I can't remember where it was, but I think it was Kathleen Kennedy said that when you have a crawl, like just use the Episode 4 crawl, for example, when you see that, yeah, it's setting up the movie, but in doing so, the stuff that you're reading is also saying, well, there's other stories here, but what you're about to see isn't that story. Like, we, by reading the crawl, we see that the rebels have won their first victory and that they stole the data plans. Well, you're right. Not going to find out that information in Episode 4, but the crawl created another story. So if they created a crawl for Rogue One, then there would be a story that you could take from that crawl and probably make it into a movie or a book or whatever. So, and if they just want these things to just be standalones, then, you know, you don't want to branch off of a spinoff.
That makes sense. Another thing too, is that Star Wars, if you look at it from how George Lucas was trying to reflect Flash Gordon and the other serialized Flash Gordon style films of a long time ago, for lack of a better way to put it, you kind of needed that because it was kind of a recap of what happened in the previous episodes. And it's not like you could just pop a DVD in your DVD player, you know, go down to Best Buy and get a box set of all of the other Flash Gordon episodes. You either went to the theater and saw that episode, or you didn't. If you missed it, you needed some sort of an explanation of what was leading into what you're now watching. And they also used that technique with the Clone Wars, only they did it differently. They did it in kind of a newsreel sort of setup, because that also, it had the practical effect of the Flash Gordon serialized stuff, but it had the presentation effect of World War II, I don't want to say propaganda films, but like the World War II news updates that they used to put in the movie theaters. And of course, Clone Wars was about stuff going on in wartime, so it reflected that as well. So you've got this space opera thing with the saga films, but Rogue One isn't really supposed to be a space opera. Rogue One, in theory, as best we know, is supposed to be a war story. It's supposed to be a war movie. So we don't. This is the perfect time to demonstrate that we can break from that mold, that we don't have to have that style of storytelling, the space opera, Flash Gordon-y type stuff that we all love, don't get me wrong. But now this is a side trip. This is another type of storytelling, another genre, where we don't have to use that methodology. So I know that this is a big point of contention for a lot of people, but I think it's a point of contention because it's a tradition. It's a sacred sort of thing. Star Wars is the only series that really does this, and therefore it's not Star Wars without that to a lot of people.
I see what you're saying. It is different. It's a way to break apart, but I still really would like to see a crawl. I think it's just iconic for Star Wars, and I think it makes sense. You don't have to be part of a larger group of stories to do that. It's just setting the stage for what you're going to see.
Well, tell you what, before we go see it, I'll write a bunch of stuff down on a piece of paper, and I will slowly drift it upwards in front of your face before the movie starts.
Thank you.
Yeah, just to kind of, add that effect.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
It'll have kind of a 3D thing, too, because it'll actually be closer to your face than the screen. See, and you don't have to pay extra for the 3D that way.
Awesome.
I know, right? Okay, maybe not. All right, we're already at an hour here. Let's kind of blitz through the rest of this. Games, there was some news from EA. Battlefront, I think next week, in fact, is getting a single-player skirmish mode.
Cool.
Yes.
I may start playing again.
Yes, I can play without teleporting and having the bad guys teleport. there's also going to be a Death Star expansion, which sounds pretty awesome. There's a trailer available online right now. And as far as new heroes you can play as, we are getting Chewbacca and Bossk. So also very cool stuff. I got to watch the panel, or at least most of it, that Pablo did with the people from ILM and their visual effects stuff that they're doing with VR. And it was really interesting. I know Joel got to do the Tatooine experience while he was there. I'm glad I didn't, because, Sandy Eric does not like the sand. Yes, I did listen to the last episode.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah.
Hashtag Sandy Eric.
Yeah. Hashtag Sandy Eric.
And there's apparently a new VR experience coming with Darth Vader involved. And apparently you're going to actually get to battle with lightsabers and stuff like that. It's coming down the pipe, I guess, but it's being written by David Goyer. Does that name sound familiar?
It does. I can't place it, though.
I want to say he wrote Batman Begins. And the other, I think he wrote The Dark Knight, didn't he? I don't know. I thought you guys knew. Now I feel like I should have looked it up. Anyway, David Goyer is definitely a name that a lot of us like, oh, yeah, David Goyer. I don't even need to look him up. So that's definitely something, I think, to look forward to. Another one of the people that were on the panel, who I guess now works at ILM pretty high up, is the same guy who created Bullet Time for the Matrix films.
Oh, cool.
I forget the guy's name, but I remember seeing him in the Matrix documentaries where they were developing the Bullet Time cameras. And yeah, he's with ILM now working on this stuff. So, and they were talking about the issue of the physicality of immersing a person in a virtual world, but then also the storytelling aspect of it. And if you're going to immerse a person in a world, you want them to have something compelling to do. Like, you want it to be meaningful somehow as well. And so they were talking the blend of immersion physically with the blend of, the issue of immersion creatively. And it's pretty interesting. One final thing. I don't know if you guys caught this, if you weren't watching the live stream. Like I said, the hosts from the Star Wars show were kind of filling in the blanks between the panels with talking to different celebrities and panel guests and things like that on their little elevated stage over the convention hall floor. And at one point, Mark Hamill came up unannounced. And they gave him the microphone. He started talking to the crowd a little bit. And I know forever I'm going to be hounded for saying this. And I've never seen one of Mark Hamill's shows. Now, I've spoken to Mark Hamill. I've been around him a little bit before. But I don't know if this was just the way he normally gives a presentation or if not. But he almost seemed like maybe like he wasn't drunk, but maybe he had a couple before getting on stage. I don't know. Anyhow, he told a couple of stories and asked for questions. And one question that I thought was really interesting was, did you actually say Carrie at the end of A New Hope, where he comes down out of the X-Wing? And there's this, you know, one of the biggest movie flubs in history is this thing where Mark Hamill allegedly says Carrie instead of Leia when he gets out of the X-Wing. And he confirmed that it's nice to actually have him answering this and putting this to rest, because this is an urban legend that's been around literally since 1977. And he confirms that all of the audio for that stage, that set, all of the mechanical sounds and all of the banging on the X-Wings and the refueling stations, all of that was done in ADR. It was done in loop. So all of the dialogue and the lines were done after the fact. In ADR stands for additional dialogue reel, if I recall correctly, or additional dialogue recording. So they go into a sound booth and they re-record their lines cleanly so that you don't get all the echoing and the background noise from an actual stage. And he said, you know, George Lucas obviously is, I'm paraphrasing here, but he, you know, he's a little anal retentive when it comes to his dialogue, which is ironic. But so George said, you know, what were you saying there? And Mark said, I think I was just saying, oh, hey, there she is. But you couldn't really tell because, you know, I was moving at the time and I don't think the overhead mic caught it. And George Lucas said, okay, we'll just do the same thing here. And just, you know, move toward and then away from the mic. And so that's what Mark Hamill did. So it was like he said, oh, there she is. And so the, oh, there she kind of sounds like, oh, Carrie instead of, oh, Leia. And so that's the story. Makes sense to me.
Mm.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well, that's it. Anything else before we wrap up?
I'd like to know why they didn't stream the Future Filmmakers panel.
Yeah.
Because literally all we got from that was confirmation of Alden. What's his face?
Alden Ehrenreich.
Ehrenreich.
I didn't mention that. Yeah, Alden Ehrenreich is confirmed for the Han Solo film. Which
is only a few months late.
Yeah. I think they were the last people to know about that.
Yeah.
Right.
And yeah, he was the first person to audition too.
Yes.
Which if I auditioned for that, I would feel absolutely terrible. And it's like I feel sorry for anyone that auditioned for that just because. Just think, well, you know, the whole time they could have been thinking, well, we already have our Han, why are we auditioning? And then, you know, it would have made me feel insignificant.
Yeah. You know, I mentioned the guy from Daredevil earlier, and I forget the guy's name, which I'm kind of embarrassed about because he does such a great job. I think it's only respectful to learn the guy's name. But he apparently auditioned for the Han Solo role, or what he believes to have been the Han Solo role. When you audition for it, they don't necessarily tell you that that's what it is you're auditioning for. And he's going through this audition and reading the lines, and the director stopped him at one point and said, why aren't you making eye contact with any of us? And it hit him. He's so used to having to deliver dialogue on Daredevil, where he plays a blind character, that he specifically avoids making any eye contact with anybody. And he said he thinks that, I mean, there might have been other reasons he wouldn't have gotten the part anyway, but he said that he feels that, like, that definitely was a nail in the coffin preventing him from getting the part, is that he screwed up the audition so badly because he didn't make eye contact with anybody. So that's kind of interesting, but I would love to see the audition tapes.
Yeah.
The audition tapes for that.
I'm not sold on him, to be honest with you.
I'm not against him.
I'm not sold on the whole movie. So.
But yeah.
Yeah.
See, there is a new movie trailer and I forget the name of it. It's about Howard Hughes. And I think it's called The Rules Don't Apply. Or something like that, but it's a brand new trailer, just came out recently, and he is in it. And it looks like he does a good job, but again, I don't see him as Han Solo necessarily. I haven't seen Hail Caesar yet. But then again, if he's a good actor, I shouldn't be seeing any of Han Solo in that performance. So, that doesn't necessarily mean anything good or bad. But, if you want to do your homework, there's Hail Caesar. He's in that. And then there's this other film. And you can see the trailer for it right now. I'm not sure when it's being released. But anyway, so that's it for this week of Echo Base. We've got a lot to look forward to. I know that recently we've been talking more about kind of generalized things like the state of fandom and some of the debates about diversity or what's canonical. But now we're getting more news in again, which is kind of nice. So we've already got an episode coming up. Joel's going to talk to us about the actual convention experience in London. And he was also at Celebration Anaheim, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. And so we'll be able to kind of compare notes there. We've got a member of the 501st coming onto the show soon. We've got Picking Apart the Rebels featurette, Picking Apart the Rogue One featurette. We've got a few other guests that we're going to be working on lining up for the show. I'm really looking forward to the next few episodes. That and the Thrawn novel. I wonder if, if we talked really, really nicely to Tim, I wonder if, because you know how like authors have people proofread things for them? And, just to make sure that, spelling isn't so much an issue anymore, I guess, now with modern word processors, but just to make sure that, there's a certain consistency and continuity to the character development throughout a novel and things like that. I wonder if maybe, because Tim's a nice guy. I mean, he's legitimately really a nice guy. I bet that he would probably let us, to chip in and help for the sake of the community. I can hear you guys shaking your heads and rolling your eyes. Thanks, guys. All right. Well, that does it for this episode of Echo Base. We would love it if you would send us feedback. There's a lot we covered in this episode, but especially if you were able to make it to Celebration Europe or if you watched any of the streaming panels, let us know what you think of this stuff. Send us your emails, echobase@randomchatter.com. We would love to know what you think.
And, of course, you can find us online at facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. That's for the entire network. On Twitter, we are Outer Rim Podcast for the podcast itself, at Random Chatter for the network. I am on Twitter at Lusecki. That's Lusecki. Chris, where are you?
I'm at The Curse of Chris.
And Eric, what's yours?
I am at Eric Blythe. That's ERIKBLYTHE. And you can find all of our shows at randomchatter.com. You can find the entire network there. Some of the newer shows, we've got the premiere of Cordcast. We've been talking about that a little bit. Chris, with our newest host, Joelle, doing a great podcast covering music. So if you're like me and Lou, who, our days of music discovery are a little bit behind us, this is a great way to discover new bands and new songs that you might not otherwise. So definitely worth checking out. Also, the Retro Convo, our second newest show on the network, just released an episode covering the 1980s Ghostbusters. So be sure to check that out as well. And then finally, we just posted, if you go to randomcheddar.com/moviedraft, we've been talking before about the audience getting to participate in the movie draft. There's instructions there. And yes, you can bet on any of the films, even the ones that have come out over the last couple of weeks so far in July, the beginning of the draft, because everybody's starting at the same spot. And, you know, it's kind of a gamble. Do you stick with the ones that you know how they performed, or do you go all out with the ones that haven't shown up yet? So it's entirely up to you. Again, instructions on how to participate. You've got to get your entries in by the end of the month, by midnight Eastern time, June 30th, randomcheddar.com/moviedraft.
And definitely spread the word about the network and the show as well. Leave us reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. And don't forget to tell your friends about us. Any kind of exposure is good exposure for us.
Mm-hmm. We'd like you to listen to us live, too. We do live streams on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Tuesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, usually, and Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find us at randomchatter.com/live. You can also search for us on Ustream and listen to us there.
And speaking of the chat room, a quick shout out to Skywalker28. Charlie Cox is the guy who plays Daredevil. So thank you very much for that. I wish I'd glanced over at the chat room when I was actually talking about it, but that's one of the reasons why we have the chat room and why it's fun to hang out. So like you said, Lou, definitely check that out. And a special thanks to everybody over at Patreon who's been helping support the network, keeping the lights on, as it were. Head over to patreon.com/randomchatter for more information. And that's it. Running a little bit long, I know, but hopefully it was worth it. Until next week, take care, everybody. We will catch you later.
See ya.
Bye, everyone.
The Force will be with you always.